Please stand for the reading of our gospel this morning, found in John chapter 10, beginning with verse 11. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and a raving mad. Why listen to him?" And others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Verse 22. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were gathered there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a seat, please. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Shepherd of the Hills. In 2019, you may have been here and recall, it was an incredible experience with Pastor Paul Oman, who painted this mural of the Good Shepherd, and there's another one in our fellowship hall that was painted on that weekend. And every time I walk into the sanctuary or the fellowship hall, my eyes are drawn to that painting. And if you recall, it was an amazing experience. Songs played and scripture read about God, our Good Shepherd, and he started painting the picture upside down, and we're all going, "What are you drawing?" And then halfway through, he flipped it around, and we went, "Oh, I start to see it now, the mountains and the cactus and the shepherd and the sheep." This is a beautiful metaphor, as we heard in Psalm 23, that God leads us to quiet streams, that he shepherds us. And it's a beautiful metaphor of how God himself treats us and helps us really comprehend who God is. I don't know all that went into the naming of the church, our church, Shepherd of the Hills, almost 50 years ago. There's a lot of Shepherd of the Hills around. If you look on the website, there's even a lot of Shepherd in the Hills Lutheran churches around. It's not a unique name in any way. And Chris and I were thinking the other day about kind of where we met and, you know, our start. We met in this training program in Tentmakers Youth Ministry, and we were thinking about it going, and we were at this church in Hopkins, Minnesota, and wait a second, what was the name of that church? And then we realized it was Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church. So the bookends of my ministry, active ministry, began at Shepherd of the Hills, and here I am. You know, hopefully not the end of my life or anything, but maybe the end of my active ministry here at Shepherd of the Hills. So what a beautiful thing. The Bible speaks a lot about shepherds and sheep. And for the most part, for most of us living in the United States, we don't know much about shepherding. It's not really a part of our daily life at all. Ezekiel, as you heard, speaks about the one true shepherd, who is God. Only God truly has the power and the compassion and the foresight, the providence, the rescue, the seeking out and searching for those who have strayed. So we know that God is the shepherd and we are the sheep. Now, I don't know about you, but being called the sheep is not extremely flattering. They're not the most noble of creatures, are they? Sheep can be pretty slow to act. They're fearful, highly fearful, a little dense, and they follow their own way and get lost. But Jesus takes the metaphor further in describing himself as the good shepherd. And we're beginning this new series today on the I am statements of Jesus. I'm calling it the declarations, the I am I ams of Jesus, because John's gospel uses a unique structure that really highlight these 7 or 10 phrases that make Jesus' words, I am the good shepherd, mean much more than you would think they mean. I want to pause here just for a little word study in Greek. If you don't like Greek, apologize ahead of time. But it's really important as we think about these passages because the normal form of the verb am or I am is the first person singular present form of the irregular verb be in English. But in Greek, that word is emi, E-I-M-I, emi. But where this gets interesting is how John uses this phrase in his gospel. He doesn't just say emi, he says two words that mean I am. And that's referring to a title. In the book of Exodus, when God answers Moses to his question, well, Lord, you want me to go to save the Israelites, but who am I to say is sending me? What's your name? To that, God said, I am. Or I am Yahweh, which we talked about a few weeks ago. The holy name of God. Now that's translated from the Hebrew, but long before another translation was created in the 3rd century BC, the Old Testament was translated into Greek, called the Septuagint. And in Isaiah, when God is making reference to himself, his character, he says, as John writes, ego eimi, which means I am, I am. Ego eimi becomes the divine name of God. So John, when quoting Jesus, is making a much bigger statement than simply saying Jesus' state of being. John, in these statements, is stating in a direct way, Jesus' title is God. You are, as you heard today, Jesus taught, I and the Father are one. So we begin this series on the I am I ams of Jesus to better absorb who Jesus is. And today, we understand Jesus is the good shepherd. When you understand the heart of a shepherd, you are given a glimpse to the heart of God. What does a good shepherd do? Well, this is what we learn in John 14, or John 10. He's our defender and our protector. Jesus declares himself the good shepherd by contrasting himself to the hired hand. When danger comes, the wolf in the teaching, the hired hand says, I didn't sign up for this. I'm not risking my life for these stupid sheep. And instead of protecting them, the hired hand runs away and allows the wolf to ravage the sheep. But Jesus says, never runs away. He's always defending and protecting his sheep. And you may wonder, well, why? Why would he stay with these sheep? Are they really worth his life? But he says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. He stays because he knows us. He knows us. So the second attribute of a good shepherd is he knows us. What does it mean to know someone? Well, it means to have developed a relationship with someone through meeting and spending time with them. It means to be familiar or friendly with another person. It means that you have a relationship. Now, I would may do some nice things for a stranger, right? If someone was struggling with their grocery bag and I didn't know them, I might help them to their car, or if it's a crosswalk and it might help someone cross the street, or tell them they dropped something, things like that. But we would go to a much greater extent to care for a family member or a dear friend, right? I know people who have even flown across country to be near someone who's having surgery or to comfort someone in grief. That's how it is with someone you know. You will go out of your way to help them. And that's how Jesus is with us. He's not a stranger to us, and we are not a stranger to him. He's the good shepherd who knows the sheep. When I was 7 years old, my brother, who's 10 years older, was in the Future Farmers of America in Montana. And his project was keeping a small herd of sheep. Now, I don't recall a lot about the sheep, except they were in the pasture, and they would look at you like kind of dumb, and they would just kind of do their thing. And I remember the shearing day when they would get kind of anxious about their wool being sheared. And I do remember a time when one of the sheep got caught in some wire up on the ditch near our house, and it just basically gave up. I mean, it's like, I can't get out of here, I'm just gonna die. And we just lay there like it was already dead until my brother saw it, and I was with him, and he went and rescued that sheep and untangled the wire, and then the sheep popped up like nothing was going on. Just amazing. Now, I don't remember that these sheep had any relational connection to my brother. I don't think he named them. I don't think he necessarily did a lot with them except for feed them. And when it was time to get some food, boy, did they all come running to the barn for that. But Jesus says, not only does he know his sheep recognize his voice. Shepherding in Middle Eastern culture, where Jesus grew up and where he lived, was typically not done with dogs. The shepherd was maybe with other shepherds, but the shepherd would lead the sheep and speak to them. They would follow where the shepherd led them because they knew the voice of the shepherd, which is Jesus talks about in these teachings. They recognize his voice. Jesus even goes further than say that his sheep are the Jews that are recognizing his voice, to say that there's even sheep that I'm talking about that aren't of this sheep pen that also hear my voice and will follow me. He expands his message, his ministry, to those outside of Judaism, outside of the norm, and they respond to the voice of Jesus calling them. It really is an incredible thing to be known by Jesus. I want to slow down around that thought. It is an incredible thing to be known by Jesus. He doesn't just know your good parts. Oh, the parts you show everyone, you know, the good clothes you put on, or your cleaned up life, or putting your good face forward, or doing the right things. He knows also your hidden thoughts. He knows your mistakes and your failures, your anger, your resentment, your self-centered, sinful life. And not only does he know you, he doesn't push you away because of all those things. Because of your deficiencies, it actually, he is drawn closer to you, and you are to him when you tell him and reveal to him your deficiencies. As it says in Luke chapter 5, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, those who belong to the sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So the third characteristic of a good shepherd, so we've talked about their protection and provision, and also that he knows us. The third characteristic of a good shepherd is his enduring care. He says in verse 27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. When we belong to him, when we follow him, he promises enduring care." He talks about eternal life, life with him forever. He talks about that we will never perish, that no one can snatch them away from us, from him. Jesus is representing the heart of the Father God to us. And these images are reinforced in the shepherd's psalm, which is so familiar to us, Psalm 23. When you understand the heart of the good shepherd, you are given a glimpse into the heart of God. And his goodness, it says, follows me all the days of my life into the house of God forever. We learn in Psalm 23 that our good shepherd goes ahead of us, behind us, and alongside us. It expresses in the most beautiful way that the experience that what the experience of knowing God is like. These are some of the most comforting words ever composed. If you would like to open your Bibles to Psalm 23, you could do so. This is the shepherd's psalm. It's written by David, a shepherd, but also a king. Shepherding here is a royal term. Throughout the Bible, as we saw in Ezekiel, a shepherd refers to a leader, a ruler, a king. It's a royal term. But the ruler that is referred to as a shepherd is the kind of king who takes care of his people. He's not a tyrant. He's, like Jesus says tells us in John, he's a good shepherd. Not the king who does whatever he wants with no regard for his people. The psalm describes the shepherd, and he does that through poetry, which makes us slow down and consider what the words. It's not just words, it's images that draw us into his character. Every word is so carefully and masterfully chosen, as these words are so important. One of my professors in seminary, Jim Limburg, points out in the original Hebrew of Psalm 23 that there are exactly 26 words before and after the word, "You are with me." You are with me, which is in verse 4. Perhaps the poet is boldly declaring that God belonged with us and is at the very center of our lives. God is with us. We're not alone. And we see that here. And again, Jesus, who we called Emmanuel, reminds us of his name, God with us. God, our shepherd, goes ahead and behind and alongside us. And the moment that we recognize that God is with us is this: though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Each phrase in the psalm describes what it's like to have a relationship with God, having Jesus the Lord as my shepherd. It describes pure contentment. I shall not want, the psalmist says. And here we understand that the psalm speaks about rest, protection, guidance, provision, comfort, assurance of God's presence all the days of our lives and into eternity. Placing Psalm 23 alongside Ezekiel 34, alongside John 10, gives us a very full picture of God, our shepherd, and Jesus, the Good Shepherd. God, our Shepherd, goes ahead of us, behind us, and alongside us all the days of our life. Friends, Shepherd of the Hills, God, our Shepherd, goes ahead of you, behind you, and alongside you all the days of your life. Jesus is the Good Shepherd who provides defense and protection. He knows us, and he gives to us enduring care for our entire lives. That's why it's important that faith is personal, that you know him. It's not private. It's personal. Jesus goes ahead, behind, and alongside us all the days of our lives. Would you join me as we pray? Good Shepherd, Jesus, friend of sinners, healer of our souls, although we aren't that familiar with shepherd and sheep, and we pray that you would transform our understanding to open us up to a deeper relationship with you. To understand that you know us is very comforting and very frightening at the same time. You know all of our good and all of our bad. Can we trust you to handle us with care? You assure us that we certainly can, and that nothing can snatch us away from you. So we breathe a deep breath now. Fill us with contentment. Satisfy us with quiet streams. Walk with us and hold on to us. Keep us in your grip now and forevermore. Amen.